You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
The stamp, the kick, it's been blocked again! How about it? It's been blocked again! He's going to heave one deep down the field. It's going to be to the goal line. It's going to be gone! It's a touchdown! And the Gators have won the game! Tyree Cleveland, how about it? I can't believe what I just saw!
Dropping back the throw, pops and fires the ball.
Have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Boys and girls, ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of The List, trademarked by Daniel.
What's up, dude? Good to see you. Happy Sunday.
Beautiful Sunday evening, man. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. Had a great weekend. Actually got to hang out with our buddy Paul today, him and his wife. So that was a ton of fun. So shout out to Paul. But otherwise, good weekend, man. Excited to have a bye week. Was able to catch a bunch of other football and then catch a Lightning game yesterday. So big victory for the Lightning yesterday. And they're playing right now and tied up with Vegas. Right.
It's that time of the year where, you know, Daniel's, you know, about the triple referee on the
hockey
ice.
Hockey time.
Yeah, I had a good weekend, man. I saw the Oklahoma letting me down. You know, wasn't a great hate watch weekend. They had one job, bro. Like, to really just, you know, get the fire burning over there. It's already a little heated. We'll talk about it. But solid weekend, man. Pop Warner, rain. I just been in the house just organizing and just cleaning today because it's just been a rainy affair in Florida. Or South Florida, I would say.
I got to do that, man. I got to do that. I got to clean after this is over. I got my house cleaner coming tomorrow, and I can't have a not clean house when the house cleaner comes. You know what I mean? But anyway, I'm sure people are going to pop off about, you know, getting my groceries delivered, having a house cleaner, and all this other stuff. But another week, another time where we get to talk about some coaching prospects for University of Florida. Obviously, the big name out there is Lane Kiffin. We talked about on the show on Monday. Listen Tuesday if you're listening on the podcast. And then we talked about in the Gator panel on Thursday. Just a lot out there, right? They're probably going to make the playoffs at the way that they're going. They beat Oklahoma this week, and Lane Kiffin is still trolling. So what are your thoughts after this weekend, Corey?
Not a lot has changed. I think if Ole Miss is not looking like a playoff team, then, you know, the process speeds up a little bit in my mind as far as like the vetting and getting serious with Lane Kiffin right now, because, you know, not saying he's not serious, but, you know, he's locked in. You never know what type of run. He got a good football team. You never know what type of run they may go into and, you know, what decision he may make in the end. So not a lot changed, man. Not really, you know, locked into too many candidates, man. I think after these top two, Marcus Freeman's kind of out, Lane Kiffin, and then for me it's James Franklin. After that, mm-hmm. I think it's, we get to experimental phases, and I give my total take on it, but not really watching the rest of the country on like coaching watch, I would mm-hmm. say. Fran Brown did get hand and feet put on him by Brent Key. Yeah, that guy crazy. So shout out to Brent Key for, you know, holding down, you know, his
side. I hear he might actually be crazy, though. Like, not nice kind of crazy.
Who that?
Brent Key.
Brent Key?
Like a bit of a dick. Yeah. Family show, mm-hmm. I know, but.
I get the message. Yeah. I don't know, bro, if that personality fits well around here, man.
Yeah, I don't know if it does or doesn't. You know, and you've made the point, you know, we don't know how true this is or not, but, like, there's the expectation that if Jordan, you know, if he were to leave, that Georgia Tech would likely go after their offensive coordinator as their head coach. And from some stuff that I've heard from some people that I talked to, they actually think that he is the reason that they're so successful right now, not necessarily just Brent Key.
No, for sure. I mean, you can see the offense, Haynes King. There's a lot that I got to see Brent Key do without those two, right? Quarterback development, just overall offense. I mean, he's looking good early on at Georgia Tech. I think he's overachieving right there. Mm-hmm. But we know how this coaching thing works, man. You can lose a certain player, especially at quarterback, and an offensive coordinator, and this thing looks totally different. So there's a lot more I want to see from Brent Key.
But it also looks totally better with the right person, right? So as much as we can discount, I'm not saying this is you, this is kind of the internet, right? Like, especially when talking about like Clark Lee, it's like, oh, it's all Diego Pavia. Like, Diego Pavia's good, right? And he's having a fine year, but certainly not as great of a year as maybe he's getting hyped up. I think the last couple games he's thrown for combined 450 yards, maybe 500 yards in the last three games. They've won those games. You know, but Haynes King, it's like, well, Haynes King's kind of carrying the team. It's like, well, he also recruited over Haynes King from what, Texas A&M, and then developed him and is using him for what he is. That to me shows that you know how to lean into your workhorse, right? Mm-hmm. So it's hard for me to always dismiss a coach and be like, oh, they only have one player. It's like, well, they have a whole team around, you know, Haynes King might be the powerhouse of the offense, but there still has to be people blocking so that he can do what he needs to do, or getting open so that he can make some of the passes that he does. The defense still needs to do their job. It's not like Georgia Tech's winning 51-49 every game either, right? So, you know, I try to take some of those comments and say, well, is Clark Lee good because Diego Pavia is doing better, or is because Clark Lee was able to develop a team and he just happened to get the former New Mexico State quarterback? Like, let's keep it 100 here, right? It's not like he was a, you know, a 4 or 5 star transfer guy that came in. You know, was he able to develop and build the team around him? That to me shows that that's a guy that knows how to win and build a team. And now you have Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt is a top 10 team in the country.
I think it's more of not a long enough track record with both of those guys. I would say they've only done this with, you know, one coach, one offensive coordinator, and one quarterback. Mm-hmm. And college football changes so quick. You know, we just know, like, position, while they may not be the biggest of guys, it's hard to get somebody to come in and duplicate what Haynes King is doing.
Sure.
And also Pavia. Like, it's going to be hard to duplicate that. You know, some of these coaches could be on a longer Mike Norvell type run, you know, and you don't know what you're going to get out of that. I think where we're at as a program, I don't think neither one of those coaches have a long enough track record. That's just my thing. I think they're good coaches. I just don't think they have a good enough track record, and we don't know what's behind that hidden door.
Yeah, no, we don't know. So, we'll get into a bunch, and we want to make this as driven as much by the chat as we can, as you guys have questions and everything else. The first one's from our man Joshua here. I appreciate the super chat. If we miss Lane, how do you guys feel about Kalani Sitake? I think he'd be a solid hire. I like what he's doing at BYU. If he is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I think he went to BYU. Let me just double check. I'm like 90. Yeah, he played football at BYU. He did a Mormon mission there. He's been their head coach since 2016. I mean, I think that he's gotten a lot of success, and obviously they're having a good year this year. But being as, you know, religious and as involved in the church as he is, you know, I doubt that you're going to pull him away from the one Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints school. Not saying that he'd be a bad person to look at. I just don't really think that he is an option. Maybe UCLA, Harrison Sanchez threw that in there, maybe. You know, but, you know, I think BYU has got a very different mission as well. And if you're Mormon and that's your connection, you know, to them, that there's probably more to it than just the bigger stage.
Do you agree? Yeah, outside of like Urban Meyer, you don't really see like these Utah coaches, like any of them, just like move around a little bit, like Mormon zone coaches.
I mean, Kyle Whittingham was named head coach after Urban Meyer left, and he's still there. He's
still there.
And Kyle Whittingham's been brought up, and I mean, somebody brought him on in the last chat, right? Kyle Whittingham was brought up in Florida's coaching search for Will Muschamp, Jim McElwain, Dan Mullen, Billy Napier, and now here. He's hitting the trifecta.
Yeah, yeah. Now he's a good program builder and all that. He hires well, develop well at, you know, all positions, I would say, on both sides of the ball. He just always got a solid outfit, but I don't think that's a option, you know, for us. I don't think that's, you know, culture fit may be a thing too. I don't know a whole lot about him. Same thing with, what's his name? The BYU. I just don't know a lot about him. I have a whole lot of opinions.
Yeah. I just truly don't think that that's the right fit for him. He's from Hawaii, has coached mainly on the West Coast as well. I think he's a great coach and obviously has BYU doing great things. And I think they've got a pretty large chest in terms of a war chest in terms of what they're able to spend money on as well. So I know that their basketball program as well is invested in quite some, number of good athletes over there. So, great question, a good name. I just don't think that is going to be necessarily the direction that Florida goes. Corey, this was brought up, with Steve Sarkisian. A lot of coaching news kind of happened this week. And so to kind of catch everybody up, there was a report put out that Steve Sarkisian might be looking to go to the NFL. And strangely, it was like including the Tennessee Titans. I'm like, okay. I mean, still one of 30 jobs, right? But hey, I'd be willing to go to that. They're terrible, man. They got smoked again today. So Steve Sarkisian, he comes out after the game and says that he's disappointed and upset, as you would expect a coach to say, that reports and rumors came out. And then it looks like LSU put themselves in a bind where they kind of have to fire Brian Kelly today or soon.
Yeah, they got to fire him. There's no way you just move forward after all this shaking and moving, telling assistants to stay, go home. Yeah, something's got to happen.
Yeah, so I don't know. The coaches have been sent home for the night, and they're like, we're thinking about it. The governor of Louisiana is involved. When the governor's involved, that's never like a good thing for the decision-making of what you guys want to do. So, I would imagine that they will probably agree on some sort of settlement, and then he'll move on. And that leaves, the Florida opportunity open. It leaves LSU, Penn State, as your big schools right now. Should Texas go? Obviously, there's some other, smaller schools that are going to be looking. I wouldn't be surprised if we have 15 to 18 head coaching changes this year.
15 to 18 is a lot.
I mean, we're already at 8. And you still have Mike Norvell sitting out there.
Well, no, they poor. They can't do nothing,
though. Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. You still have some other schools that I would imagine are going to, try to make that decision.
Mm. If I'm Florida State and I see all these big dogs is really barking right now, I just chill regardless because it's like I'm broke. I can't even pay this guy out. Do I want to go compete with Florida, LSU, Penn State right now? No, I tuck my tail. And hopefully nobody else is looking for a coach next year. That's what I would do.
I mean, you've got to try to figure out a way to make it happen because, like, I don't want to say we're struggling to come up with names, but, like, when you get past 4 or 5, it starts to get real murky and you start to just – I mean, you're like, maybe. And then it's like, well, do you start to now look at more G5 people than we have been in the past? Do you start to look at coordinators? What does it look like? Because this just isn't an ideal time to look for a head coach. And if you don't have the brass balls and the piggy bank behind you, it's going to be a very tough year, I think, to find a coach.
Yeah, for me, the top two that's available because Marcus is out. So after Lane Kiffin looks like prime time steak right now. I'm talking about like $400 steaks.
A nice Kobe beef.
Yes. That's how it's looking right now. Pause. But James Franklin to me is next up after that, bro. Even after Lane, right? Once you're done with Lane, whose offense do you even trust or like in the entire, like just around anybody that you think is a possible option? What offense are you confident in? Like Missouri? No. Brent Key?
Just lost to Vanderbilt?
No. Like none of these guys outside of Lane have an offense. So that's why I still lean towards James Franklin because I know he likes splash hires at the coordinator spot. So hopefully he go get a spread guy that can make the offense look better than it's looking at Penn State. Mm-hmm. But Yeah, after Lane Kiffin, like I'm almost like driven to go Will Stein, you know.
Yeah, I mean that again. That's, you know, a risk that you take, and you know, with anybody coming from a G5 spot, and I think we've talked quite a bit about Will Stein in the past, and you know, he's a guy that is probably one of the biggest up and comers in the sport right now, especially at the offense coordinator position. But he's only been a head coach at the Power 2, Power 4, whatever we want to call it, level. This is his third year, right? And before that, he was at UTSA. So it's, what do you expect? Then it goes back to your criteria of what do you want out of your head coach? Do you want them dialing up the offense, or do you want them to be overseeing and kind of architecting and putting it in the hands of somebody else? And as somebody who is only got 3 years, do they feel comfortable doing all of the other stuff that comes with the role, the political stuff, the fundraising stuff, the hiring of staff and managing the team, managing the staff, managing all that?
Yeah, I'm with you. I just think that after the first two, you just get, it gets too safe, and we'll be doing this another 3 or 4 years. Like, you know, no shots at Brent Key or who else we have on. Like Drinkwitz looked crazy this weekend.
Yeah,
and I don't particularly like, you know, his offense, or I think he's a solid coach. I just don't think it's a good fit. But you looking around, like somebody mentioned Lincoln Riley, like that name starts to sound attractive because you don't. I mean, he's having a rough time at USC, but maybe he could get a bounce in his step again, like Chip Kelly did at a new spot. You know, the word is that he don't like it out there. But it's murky waters, bro. Once you get out of that top guy, and Lane is a crapshoot. Nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. We all just riding this roller coaster right now.
Yeah, and it's a lot of conjecture, you know, on Lincoln Riley. A lot of people are throwing his name out there. And from, you know, what I talked about on the show the other day, he's not, from what I've heard, he's not very happy at USC. But what does that mean he's looking for? You know, is Florida looking at him? Florida had the opportunity to look at him a few years ago, and they're pretty headstrong and only looking at Billy Napier. Now, that could have been, hey, we think that Billy Napier is going to be the coach of the future, and that everybody was kind of looking at him. You know, there's rumors at Auburn. You know, I looked at him. He turned down the USC job, South Carolina. He turned down the Tennessee job. And so maybe it's like, hey, we have our guy in Lane. We like you, but just not enough. Now, is that a possibility? I don't know. I think that his offense and his ability to get some talent at Florida, at USC, he's doing fine in the talent acquisition department. And I just don't know why it's not necessarily translated to as many wins. I know he kind of held on to Alex, you know, Grinch too long as the defense coordinator, you know, but is he going to do that again at Florida? And I just don't know. He had some success there at Oklahoma, and since then it's been, you know, average, you know, above average for sure. I mean, his win-loss record is 86-26. And when you start looking at, and he's made the college, you know, football playoff a couple times as well. I don't think he's won, but when you look at resumes, right, it's like you have Lane Kiffin. James Franklin does have a better resume than Lane Kiffin, right? It's maybe not the sexy hire, but when you look at longevity, when you look at accomplishments and everything else, he does have a better record. That doesn't mean that he's going to be a better coach. I'm just saying that he has a better resume than Lincoln Riley does, or than Lane Kiffin does. And so now you have Lincoln Riley, James Franklin, and Lane Kiffin up here, and then you take some big steps down to get to Eli Drinkwitz, who's probably that next tier down, and then you go down probably another level to Brent Key, and then you go down a bunch of levels to get to anybody else.
Yeah. That's a nasty carpool.
Yeah.
That's the 50 nasty carpool.
Lincoln Riley's buyout is if he gets fired, that's his buyout, not what the buyout is if he were to leave for another school. So if USC fired him, that's he's got a huge buyout, but that's not something that Florida would have to
to
pay. Going through the chat here.
Yeah, y'all be looking up them fire buyouts hit, like.
Yeah.
Like the Powerball.
I mean, Brian Kelly's about to make $53 million, dude. He's going to say the exact same thing Ed Orgeron said. Where's the door? All right. Obviously, it's all on Lane. It's up
great
to
impression.
Him. Thanks. However, Scott Strickland and Turnkey ZRG have a brain. We're going to talk about Turnkey. We'll talk about the search process tomorrow. They'll leave no stone unturned from Lanning to Riley to the NFL to Franklin. Don't rule anything out. Yeah, I mean, they're going to do due diligence on dozens, and then that dozens will get whittled down. Some of that is just posturing and showing you that they're doing their job. But yeah, I think that, you know, it's the same list. Let's see.
I think Franklin has a better resume. I think Lane's just a better fit.
Yeah.
Just from what's been successful at Florida, you know, the fans' expectations of offense, you know, him already delegating the offense and having that side of the ball figured out. He hires pretty strong and well on the defensive side of the ball. Like, Lane checks a lot of boxes, you know, but people that try to just downplay James Franklin are absolutely crazy. Like, you know, I think we may not want to sit too long and wait, you know, like, what does that wait look like for Lane Kiffin? You know, you got LSU and some of these guys entering a pool. We don't know if Texas is going to enter it. You could wait and have to settle for a guy like Brent Key, who I don't think is, you know, the answer for this next hire. Like, I'm going to support whoever it is, but I just don't think that's the move here. You know, I don't think that would satisfy the fan base or get anybody fired up, you know, on this next regime. So, to me, it's got to be one of those two. And James Franklin come with an advantage of you can move and start acting right now. You can recruit. You could just run operations. He's a guy you don't have to spend a buyout. You still got money that you can still spend in NIL and hiring and a whole lot of other things support-wise. So that, it just makes sense from that standpoint because I don't know. I don't know what the weight look like for Lane. And also, I don't know what the heck Lane going to do at the end of the day.
Yeah, you don't know. I mean, he's not come out and said that he's not taking the Florida job. He hasn't come out and said that he's, you know, going to talk more. But he just is kind of ignoring, you know, the elephant in the room. And I mean, I think as long as he keeps doing that, you know, any school, and it's not just Florida, you know, Penn State might try to go after, you know, Lane Kiffin. I'm not sure if that's a fit or not. You know, Texas, if that position opens up, do they go after a Lane Kiffin? I'm not sure. LSU, you would imagine, would probably go after, you know, a Lane Kiffin as well. You know, so for him, it's smart not to say anything, but I would imagine him not signing an extension or him not really making any progress and their AD having to go out to say, hey, we're trying to get Lane Kiffin an extension here. I don't know how much money Ole Miss has. There's always the ability to get money, but Ole Miss's athletic department is still in a $6 million yearly budget, so they've got to figure some of that out too. So, you know, again, for Lane, I think that there's a lot that goes into it, right? I mean, there's kind of the magical run. If Ole Miss is able to rattle off a bunch of wins here, they go into the playoffs. They win a couple of games. Does he feel like, hey, I've gotten this far. I now know that I can take it a little bit further. Or does he say, hey, maybe they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. Maybe that's our ceiling at Ole Miss. And we never know. There's human emotion into this, right? It's not just how much money can I throw at somebody, right? Making $12 or $13 million in Oxford or making, you know, $12, $13, $14, $15 million in Gainesville is like more than enough to set up generational wealth for your family, right? Like, we're not talking about, you know, making $5 million living in Miami or $5 million living in Gainesville. It's two pretty cheap towns to live in, and you're probably the richest person that lives in that town, right? So, you know, I think that there's a lot that goes into the human emotion of it, you know, and Lane Kiffin does have kids. He's got, you know, a lot of connection to that Ole Miss program where, you know, he got, you know, he was able to rebuild his career from, you know, Alabama offense coordinator to FAU. And that was his big jump up. Does he feel like with the resources and kind of the changing nature of college football now, does he feel like he can accomplish it at Ole Miss, or does the frustration of recruiting potential ceilings that he has, you know, in terms of Ole Miss's successes that they've had, they never won the SEC championship ever once. Could he be the guy that does it? Maybe. But they still don't have that sustained success. He's begging and pleading for people a week before the game to like show up next week as a top 10 team in the country.
Let me ask you this. Just straight off football, which is a better job to you, Ole Miss or Penn State?
Probably Penn State. I think that they have more support I think that they have still a bigger national brand. Whether, yeah, I would say Penn State is a better job. They have more money. They have a bigger stadium. They have more resources. They just dumped $800 million, whatever it was, in a stadium renovation. Like, they're doing the right things. They haven't had success. You know, I also think the path to winning the Big Ten is maybe slightly easier. You just have to enjoy living in kind of the middle of nowhere in Pennsylvania, and it gets dark and cold. But yep. It's a cool campus. You know, it's still a big national brand.
Gotcha. I was just curious.
What do you think about Dan Mullen to Penn State?
Yeah, Penn State, what do you think he's about to go do at Penn State that he couldn't do at Florida? Yeah. Like, I don't think he's about to go do much. He had the biggest brand, you know, that he's ever going to coach at, in my opinion. Florida's a bigger brand. Like, Penn State hasn't won a natty since 86, man. I was 4 years old. I didn't witness Penn State greatness ever, you know, around the time I was in high school, like from 2000 to 2004, bro. They was winning like three games a season. So like Dan Mullen to Penn State, I don't think he will recruit at the level Franklin was at. So I just see a decline. Mm-hmm. I think he'll do well with what's on campus that they can retain. But just like he did at Florida, once his guys got to get on campus, it just turns into, you know, the Dan Mullen show.
But eventually. Do you think when it's like with NIL and some of the other things, maybe it's a little bit different now for him? You know, Dan left right as NIL was just kind of just getting started, if I remember correctly.
Who has, like, my answer to that is, like, who has NIL changed that for? Like, the recruiters still recruit. Like, the top recruiters are still the top recruiter. There's no, like, bad recruiter that turned into a good recruiter in the NIL era.
No, probably not. I think that the talent
it still sells. Like, you still, yeah. People still got to like you, you know, oh, like,
television, yeah.
Yeah, it still sells at the end of the day. Everybody's going to have a check and money. You know, what separates you is selling the program, wanting to sell the program. Dan Mullen don't want, like, recruiting's got to be something you just want to be a dog at. And you got to be competitive in that world. He think he's too smart for it.
Do you think he might have learned a lesson? I mean, I'm not.
Could. People evolve. Could people evolve? Like, I'm not going to say, you know, he couldn't have changed. You know, he probably got his eye off of the NFL now that he know that's not a thing. You know, I think he got a little big-eyed and was playing with the NFL and flirting with that whole thing, and that kind of sidetracked him at Florida. But he was just never serious about recruiting. He just didn't think it mattered that much.
Sure. Yeah, Dan Mullen's, you know, it's an interesting guess, right? I don't know where Penn State goes. I think, you know, Eli Drinkwitz is maybe somebody, you know, maybe if Brian Kelly gets fired, you know, Brian Kelly to Penn State might make sense. You know, coaching the Big Ten before.
Yeah, these guys, they keep talking about like hiring a fire guy. These fire guys are about to get jobs. Like, I don't know what role y'all are in it, but these guys,
James Franklin's gonna have seven different opportunities.
Right? Yes,
however many are open, all of them will probably want
LSU is gonna call James Franklin,
right?
Like, you want 100%.
Everybody's like, oh, we can get James Franklin cheap. Yeah, I was hanging out with some friends that went to FSU, and they're like, oh, well, if we fire Mike Norvell, then we can go, you know, and pay, you know, James Franklin really cheap, and then he can just live off his buyout money. I'm like, you guys are insane if you think that he's just going to accept a cheap deal just to live off of the Penn State buyout money. But yeah, I mean, so James Franklin's going to have a whole bunch of offers. Lane Kiffin's going to have a whole bunch of offers. I think Eli Drinkwitz is in a good situation at Missouri. He's going to probably have a litany of options as well.
For sure.
So then you start, you know, after that, trying to figure out, all right, well, Brent Key, you know, he's going to probably have some options of what he can do. Jamie Chadwell at Liberty is going to probably be a relatively hot name for, you know, some of these higher, you know, G4, you know, programs. You know, is somebody like Colin Klein, who's the offense coordinator at Texas A&M, his name's going to probably get thrown around quite a bit, especially after what they've been able to do this year.
You think anybody flirt with Dawson down in Miami?
Maybe. Apparently they aren't happy with him the last couple of weeks, though. Now they want him fired, and they're like, I can't wait for Carson Beck and Shannon Dawson to be gone. I think that he'd be I don't know enough about him, you know, but I would imagine as you see some of these schools you know, lose their coaches as coaches are taking a step up. I mean, it's hard not to look at, you know, Miami, which is, you know, are they top 10 or top 15 right now? And say, hey, you know, he was able to do some good things with Cam Ward. You know, Carson Beck, they're doing pretty well. You know, might take a flyer on him. I just don't know enough about him.
I think their fans are just like, they should be grateful for what they're getting out of, like, these one and done guys. Like, you're getting 1 year rentals, and it's not looking like a shit show. So, like, for Dawson to make that look like a product, he got all, like, a new leader every year, and it looks like decent. Miami fans are just unrealistic with the situation that they really have. They have a good team, but, you know, you got a 1 year rental. Like, this is this guy, he's learning on the fly. This isn't a system he's played in for 4 or 5 years. This is his first year playing in this system. That's why you guys going, like, as talented as they are, they're not going to go win no natty, because it takes, you know, years of playing together, you know, in this game called football. It's the ultimate team sport. It takes years of playing together, that chemistry, that brotherhood, to really go win a natty. And I don't think they got it. But anywho, I think Dawson is going to get looked at by I'm trying to think who's on a smaller scale that's fired a coach already out there.
Let me pull up a list of fired coaches, all fired.
I'm trying to think. There's some lower jobs some people got fired.
I mean, I know Jay Norvell got let go at Northern or Colorado State. Let's see. So Billy Napier's been fired, Florida. James Franklin, Penn State.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Norvell, Colorado State. Trent Bray at Oregon State. Brent Pry at Virginia Tech. Again, you know, kind of one of those sneakier, you know, under the radar.
If I'm Virginia Tech, I'm calling Shannon Dawson from Virginia Tech.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I mean, what if you go – I mean, that might be a spot for Jamie Chadwell, right? He's at Liberty there in Virginia. It could be. Deshaun Foster at UCLA.
One second.
Sam Pittman at Arkansas, Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State, Trent Dilfer at UAB, Troy Taylor at Stanford. That was before the season started. And then Kenny Burns at Kent State. They have an interim in there right now. So, you know, is a job like Kent State worthy of leaving your offense coordinator job at Miami? Probably not. You might not even be making – you'd probably be taking a step down. You'd really have to bet on yourself. And Kent State's just been bad for a really long time. Stanford now has Andrew Luck as their GM, right? So does Stanford try to go – and Stanford obviously has more money than God. You know, as a school, I don't know how much you're putting towards football, but obviously Andrew Luck being back, that, you know, certainly creates some more excitement about what that could look like. UAB – you know, after they shut down the program, they restarted. They've had some successes, but, you know, is that a job you leave? So what does Oklahoma State do? I don't know. Do they go after an Eric Morris at North Texas? I think Eric Morris is going to be a great coach. You know, his quarterback threw for 610-ish yards on Friday night. Crazy. And then he was Cam Ward's coach at Incarnate Word. He was at Washington State with Cam Ward. As well, what does Arkansas do? Right.
Yeah. So, that's what we forgot about Arkansas.
Yeah. And that's a big program that has a lot of money. You have Reynolds Aluminum there. You have Tyson, you have Walmart, you have all the other tertiary companies that have started because of those companies as well. So there's a lot of money there too. So you've got a lot of competition in the market right now, and we're just kind of getting started.
Yeah,
most college coaches don't get fired midseason. You're going to see more. And, you know, does a school like Arkansas want to throw a bunch of money at a James Franklin? I don't know if it's the right fit, you know, but if somebody's going to offer you $14 million and the other schools are offering you 9 or 10, do you take that? We live in a day and age right now where money seems to not be an issue for anybody. We just keep spending money. The money printer just keeps burring out money, right? So you've got to be able to move quickly and swiftly, and you've got to figure out what Lane Kiffin is going to do.
Brian Kelly has been fired.
Knew it was going to happen.
Yeah, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
I mean, it just even shows that, like, one, we should have fired Napier last year. Like, look at the seriousness of of LSU. Like, Brian Kelly hasn't been wetting the bed out there. It's been decent. He got back-to-back, like, 10-win seasons. He got a 9-win season right now. You know, they're at, what, 5-3 or something? But he hasn't been terrible. And they fired a guy that has not been terrible.
Yeah.
But I said in the beginning of the season, if he didn't win a natty with how much they spent in the transfer portal, like, when people start spending that type of bread, you know, to get you to this super team, and then you're just dropping games, like, left and right. Like, if we had our act together, we would have beat LSU. That wasn't an impressive team.
I mean, when you think about it, that winning streak set Florida back a lot. You're going to have a lot of competition this year. And you're going to have a lot of competition every year now. And I do start to wonder if that maybe changes some of these contracts that these schools are signing, or does a Jimmy Sexton just dig his feet into the ground and say, the way that these coaches are now being treated by fans, by boosters, and the expectation to win immediately means I need those 7 years. I need those 8 years, right? I mean, you're going to have – you have a real butting of the head situation, I think, and I don't know how you're going to continue to navigate, because – schools, and I know money is overflowing right now in college football. I just don't know how much more it grows, right? It's not going to grow at the exponential rate that it has been.
Would you take Brian Kelly?
No.
Would you call Brian Kelly?
No.
Not as a fan, but as the AD. If you Scott Strickland right now, do you at least vet and say, what's up, bro? He's weird as hell. I know it'd be a weird phone call.
Yeah.
Make sure you don't resume-wise,
team, you now put him in that resume list with James Franklin.
Yeah.
He's got a better resume than Lane Kiffin. Like, we don't want to, like, agree with that, but, like, on paper, wins, losses, successes, everything else, it's a better resume. Now, you judge the totality of a person, not just what their resume speaks, but if you're an AD and you can think that you can work with him, then, yeah. You have to give him a call. I don't think Scott Strickland will give him a call because he didn't give him a call a few years ago. And I still don't know if that's like a cultural thing for him. And obviously he's had his fair share of issues. And I heard he's just a real jerk to work for as well. And obviously he let a kid go up a scissor lift and that kid passed away. So I don't want any murderers back on my campus. I've been through that before. You know, we had our time.
Yes. Yeah. Rest in peace, Chico, man. I think Brian Kelly's going to get another job. Like, some of these guys, I think you got to project, you know, the future and what their next years are, too. Like, we're considering their resumes, but we also considering, you know, is Brian Kelly, I think he's already peaked out. I think it's a wrap. I don't think James Franklin has peaked as a coach. I think there's still some more that I think he's still, you know, he showed a lot of passion on the SEC or that game day set when he was speaking about it. So I think he still got some more, you know, years in his prime left. I think Brian Kelly's, you know, on a decline.
Yeah. 64 years old. You know, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think that Brian – no, I don't want Brian Kelly. And I know that the fan base, despite the record, would absolutely be getting their pitchforks and torches ready.
Right.
Make an insurrection look like a birthday party if that happens. So no, I don't see that that happening here. Let's see. I'm going to go back to some super chats here. This is from Zero. During the coaching search, are multiple offers put out at once, or do they stick with one until they get an answer? You have there's a couple different things. One, there will only be one official offer put out, and that official offer will have already been accepted. You're going to come to terms with it, and that way you can say, without officially lying and saying, yes, we only put one offer out. We only offered one person the job. They are going to talk about terms. They're going to talk about – because it's not just dollars, right? When they're talking about these coaching contracts, there's a lot that goes into that about what the expected staff's going to look like, what the expected spend's going to look like, any additional perks for the job. All of the different things that come with taking a job beyond just money. So, but no, they're going to talk numbers with numerous people, and you've got to have your options set up. And you also have to know what's your limit for this one particular coach that I'm willing to go up for, and how long am I willing to wait for them? you know, the longer this goes, the probably more likelihood it is going to be Lane Kiffin, and you're going to try to wait for him. But then you just put yourself at a risk if it's not, and he decides to back off or gets cold feet, or they win a national championship and he's like, hey, I would rather do that at Ole Miss, then you find yourself in a bind. But that's why you're going to have, you know, your list of names that you're going to work through. But you also put, you got to put your cards on the table. If it's Lane Kiffin, you're going to have to wait. You know, that's just the way that it is, which means that December recruiting class is not going to be one that you want to talk about. But to answer your question, they're going to talk numbers with numerous people, and they're not going to talk directly with the candidate. They're going to talk through the agent. These coaches have a lot of other things to do right now than to go back and forth at the negotiation table. They pay their agents a bunch of money, so they handle all of that. So appreciate the question. Zero. This is from HD Jarhead Ryder. I have no trust in Scott to make a competent hire. Watch him hire a Tulane type coach. Do you really trust us to get a proven coach?
I believe it when I see it, man. Right. Like with all the circumstances that's around Lane, I just will, you know, I'm hearing everything that everybody's hearing, right? The buzz is good. We don't know if Lane tried. I don't think he's trolling. I think there's genuine interest, and I don't think he's decided anything, you know? But I got to see, I've been let down too many hires. I've been around this thing too many times, you know, a lot of hires that we thought made sense. And we just got an announcement that was out of left field. So until, you know, I don't have to Google a coach, you know, I believe it when I see it, bro. But until then, I just can't.
I do like John Sumrall, and I think Auburn is going to probably fire Hugh Freeze, and I think that Auburn will probably go after John Sumrall, which I think that John Sumrall is going to be a good coach. But I don't think that the Florida Gator fan base, and I think that they know, they have people in there that know what the fan base, what the boosters want. Whether that's attainable is a different subject, right? Whether the guy that you want will take the job is not just a failure on Scott Strickland's part or anybody that's involved if Lane Kiffin doesn't take the job. I want you to think of you switching jobs. Sometimes it's about money, but what if it changes your commute and you can no longer drop your kids off at school, right? What if it changes your commute and you can no longer go to your kid's recital because now you have to be on site instead of remote, right? And I want you to think about some of the other things that you think about, and that it's not just once you've reached a certain amount of money, there's other things that are going into it. And that could be, he feels like there's a ceiling that you can hit at a certain school. Maybe he gets frustrated by the fan and student attendance. Maybe he's frustrated by how difficult it is to recruit or the talent, or, hey, I feel like I can go do that better somewhere else. I still think today that Florida is going to get Lane Kiffin as their head coach. But I also think we also need to be understanding that it could not happen and it could not be Florida's fault.
Yeah, we don't control this. Like, it has to be a mutual agreement. We can't get, we don't draft the coach. Like,
that's work. There's a lot of conversation. What's your thought, LSU or Florida? And I know that we're a little biased here. What do you think is the better job?
I think like it's a lot of, if I'm just looking at, man, like everything in its totality, recent success, having their affairs in order from what I know, I'm from the outside looking in, but they front office and administration may be, you know, a little bit more well put together and have better direction, bro. Like right now, LSU is a tough scuffle.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm gonna be honest with you, and they spend money, you know, even if they got to take it from kids, children's hospitals, they do not care.
Yeah, they don't. Know? They have a lot of money. They've got a very loyal fan base. I don't know if it's a better job. I wouldn't say that it's a worse job. I would say that they're pretty even in terms of what they are. A lot of their success has been over the last 30 years. Right, LSU used to be a really bad team.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Saban comes in from Michigan State, turns them around, and obviously they've had, you know, a lot of success. But it's not like LSU has got the Alabama history behind them. But they definitely have booster support, fan support. It's a different culture right? That you have to be understanding of how to work and deal with that culture and assimilate into that world. And I don't think it's for everybody. I think everybody thought Brian Kelly was a very weird fit from the beginning, and it's been a very weird fit since then. Does Lane Kiffin go to LSU? I don't think so. I don't know if LSU is a more attractive position for Lane Kiffin. I think some of the connection to Lane is like growing up in Tampa Bay. His wife, who he's now back together with in some capacity, went to UF, the son of John Reeves, grew up idolizing Steve Spurrier. Right? I think that there's a bit of an emotional connection to Florida. Lane Kiffin lived here, recruited here, coached here at FAU. I think that there's more to it than that. I don't think that LSU can offer significantly more money than UF. I don't think that Florida's going to put themselves in a position to get outbid on a Lane Kiffin. But is it a better job? Again, that goes down to you as an individual. There's a lot of things that go into it. Like maybe you don't want to live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. It's not for everybody. Same thing's true for Gainesville, right? Mm-hmm. I think Lincoln Riley's finding that out as a Lubbock guy, that maybe living in LA is not the vibe that I have.
Yeah. Choosing to live in LA is when you can go anywhere and be a millionaire. Like that's a rough decision. I'm cool on LA. I could do LA for 3 days tops. I got to get out of there. It's a jungle. The traffic is crazy. The homelessness, not no shots at them, but it's a lot to handle. Anywho, you probably catch helicopters everywhere he got to go. He's a different type of rich, so he might not have to deal with the lower level stuff. You just never know. But, what do you think about Jed Fish? We're getting a lot of fish engagement in the chat. Hey, shout out to everybody that's listening to us. Y'all hit like, you know, retweet on Twitter, all of that, man. If you're on YouTube, go subscribe. If you're on Twitter watching, go subscribe on YouTube. It don't cost nothing to show love, man.
Between Twitter and YouTube, we've got 4,400 people here. 4, there's a question.
Nice.
4,400. Yeah. 4,376. All right. JV Dan said, can a school get a contract with a coach, lock it up, sign it, but keep it under wraps until after the season? Yeah.
You just don't care about my Jed Fish question, huh? That's how you
feel? No, I do. So, yes, Jed Fish. I mean, I'm still, you know, I'm not sold on him. I think that he, you know, is having some success at Washington. Obviously, he helped turn Arizona around. I just don't know if he's a name other than the fact that he went to UF, didn't play here, but then was a GA under Steve Spurrier 30 years ago and has never been back. Like, I just don't know if that wasn't the case. Like, I don't even know how much Jed Fish
is a Gator.
Other than coaching in Steve Spurrier, like, does he have that affinity for UF the same way, you know, a group of fans have? I don't know enough about Jed Fish's, you know, personal life to be able to make a choice there. I just am not that impressed with him. And I think he's always chasing the bigger thing. He sticks at a job for 1, 2, 3 years and then bounces. You know, if he does well at UF 1, 2 years, did you try to go back to the NFL where he was before? You know, I mean, I just look at data points.
Yeah, Jed Fish in NFL sounds crazy to me.
Well, that's where he was before. He was with the Jaguars for a while.
Yeah. That tells – so was Urban Meyer. I think Jed Fish he's under 500. I don't think we could fire under 500 coach and then hire under 500 coach.
Yeah.
He has taken on some terrible jobs. I do like this context to his record, right? He has taken on some terrible situation and flipped him. But I just don't think in his offense it's a lot to be desired. I don't know what he's going to recruit like. You know, there's some people that think like you said, like people have this belief, you know, he's a Gator, and look at what some of the other alumnus are doing at their university. I get that, but I just don't think Jed Fish is that guy. We have to whiff on a lot of people to get down to Jed Fish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Brent Key or Jed Fish? That's tough.
I mean, Brent Key has had more success. I mean, this happened to Gator Panda. Like, stop talking about Brent Key. It's like I'm talking about Brent Key for a reason.
He's on the list.
Yeah, like Florida is looking at Brent Key. So we're going to talk about Brent Key. There's questions that I have, right? But it's hard not to look at Georgia Tech, which is a program that until he got there the last couple decades, not a very good program. He was a play away from beating Georgia last year. They are undefeated.
Sell me, bro.
Georgia Tech's undefeated right now, or do they have one loss?
They're top 10 team, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, they're 8-0. That's impressive to me. And you can say, oh, it's all on Haynes King. He recruited Haynes King. He's developed Haynes King. He's put Haynes King in a position to be successful. And you can look at a lot of programs, say, oh, is that one player? Okay. Gus Malzahn did it with Cam Newton and won a national championship. I don't care if it was just one guy that got us there if we won a national championship. I understand that Brent Key may not be the easiest guy to work with. I understand that the offensive coordinator that's beloved may not be, you know, coming with him should that happen. And that's conjecture too, right? Like there's no reason for me to think that there's not a possibility. But when I look at what he's done at Georgia Tech, it's hard not to be impressed by him. Is he my ideal coach? Probably not. But look at the list of potential coaches that are out there. Look at the potential list of coaches in college football in general. How many would get you excited?
None, man. Pause. I would like Brent Key. I just think there's a lot more to be, you know, like I think there's just some experience that's missing, you know, for what we're looking for in this next coach. We got an inexperienced guy with Napier, and that was a train wreck. But I think we would get good offensive line play out of Brent Key. I think he puts a very disciplined, well, you know, executing football team on the field. Like, the game plan, the in-game management is solid. Like, I like a lot about Georgia Tech and that whole outfit. My only strike against him is a small sample size of coaching, but it's been a good sample size. Like, he's been knocking off my ops like annually. Florida State and Miami, he should have got Georgia last year. They robbed him. But no, I think he has a good outfit, you know.
Yeah. I mean, he was an interim head coach for the 2022 year he took over. And since 2013, 2014, and this year, he's 26-16, 1-1 in bowl games. He was an all ACC player himself. He won, he was at UCF when they won, you know, whatever national championship they claim. Very well respected as an offensive line coach, left UCF to go. I'm sorry. He was with Alabama when they won the national championship. Sorry, I was reading this wrong. Was there when they won the national championship as their offensive line coach, goes, gets a promotion, you know, up at Georgia Tech to become the assistant head coach over there. That's where he went, right? And so he took over. That's where he played. He took over for Jeff Collins after Jeff Collins was there. Jeff Collins was 10-28. Brent Key takes over, and in a couple years, his record is 26-16. They beat Florida State. They beat Miami last year. And I remember when we were talking about it last week about Fran Brown, they're like, well, Syracuse beat Miami. It's like, but Georgia Tech beat Miami last year too. Mm-hmm. So I think that there is a reason to follow, and it's hard not to be impressed. And does it culturally work out? I don't know. Is he the right fit? I don't know. You don't know about any of these things. You can do your best, and you can guess.
I like when I hear the guy talk. I like his mindset. Like he sounds like a leader of men. Like he sounds like a good coach. I just don't know a whole lot about him, because you find out more about these coaches by, like, you know, when tough times hit, would they hire and fire, you know, a certain type of way? And he don't have a track record of, you know, his hiring and firing, keeping friends around. We don't know what he would be in that facet. And we've seen that happen with almost every staff at UF. Like, guys want to keep their friends around even when things are going south. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's just some certain nuances. It's a lot of unknowns. But he look and sound like a good football coach. And there should be interest from Florida with Brent Key, in my opinion. You just look at the pool. Like somebody just put in the comments saying that Lincoln Riley sounding better by the minute. Yes, like you almost got to call Lincoln. And Hope is just a bad stint out there at USC because I think he's offensively still one of those guys and he's innovative. I just think he's in a spot that he's just not happy at, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not a great fit.
Yeah. Shout out Dave Waters. Appreciate you listening, brother. There's a couple names here.
Hey, what's up?
Todd Monken, he's the offense coordinator with the Baltimore Ravens now. He was a head coach at Southern Miss for a few years in 2013, 2015, I believe. Man, his entire career, other than when it seems like the options to not be in the NFL, is when he kind of drops back down to college and he makes that next jump back up. I don't know what Todd Monken thinks of recruiting. He's 13 and 25 as a head coach at Southern Miss. You know, there's a lot more to the job than just, you know, being a good offense coordinator, which he, you know, was good, you know, when he was at Georgia. And then obviously with the Ravens, they're struggling this year. They've had some injuries and whatnot. But does he want to come back? I don't know. But it seems like I said, if you look at his career, whenever there's been an opportunity to go to the NFL, he seems to jump at that, right? And then he gets fired, he'll go back to college. And then when the next opportunity comes, he'll jump back. So.
He has a track record.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just looking at data. I'm not saying that he wouldn't do it. He's 59 years old, so, you know, still some time. Todd Monken has said, no, Florida didn't. I've not heard Todd Monken's name connected, but Gator Bags 1 does have some, you know, knowledge. Joey McGuire. I don't think Joey McGuire is going to leave Texas Tech either. If I remember correctly, he's a born and raised Texas guy. He's got them humming. They've got great NIL money. I've not seen him being connected. Let's see. I'm just trying to look back to see what else we've seen here.
Yeah, I don't know if somebody put that Kiffin would likely go to LSU over Florida. I don't know about that. Like, it's about fit, you know. Like, Lane's already rich, so money is not going to be. It's a lot of other determining factors, you know. I don't think uprooting his family to go to LSU would make sense. I think uprooting his family to go somewhere he has Florida ties with his wife, and there's some nostalgia there, and family, and you know his affinity for Steve Spurrier. There's really no pull to LSU that makes sense in my mind because money isn't going to be the motivating factor.
Yeah, not 100%. And again, LSU is a unique job, right? It's a unique school in a unique state. Very high expectations. You know, maybe not as high as Tim Brando thinks that Florida has of their, you know, athletic director, but it's a unique position. And just because they are a big school doesn't mean that it's the perfect fit for everybody, right? Like you just saw with Brian Kelly, you could still miss even if you are the bigger school. Yeah. And there's just not a lot of I don't, like Corey said, I don't know if he has any interest in coaching at LSU. I don't know that if he doesn't, but it doesn't seem to make sense in my eyes. Here for the hate, yeah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. On the big show. Lane, Riley, Franklin, short-term deal. I don't know if that's just Franklin for a short-term deal or all of them. You're going to need to give all of them 7 or 8 years. That's just...
Yeah, they're going to have options to leverage. Yeah, they're going to have like options, leverage, et cetera. Right, all right, what are you going to do? Not hire me and take this contract that I'm asking for with 7 years and go hire who? Who's going to accept? You know, that lack of security, right? Most of these guys that you're going to get are going to have that type of security at the spot that they have. So how do I leave, you know, for a 3-year deal or something crazy? No way.
Yeah. And I know Jeff Brohm is a name that people throw out there. I think, you know, it would behoove Florida to move along in the process if he's interested. Obviously, Jeff Brohm played at Louisville. He's Louisville's first son right now. You know, he can get into Jeff Ruby whenever he wants. You know, he can get on, you know, he can get that Pappy Van Winkle, you know, no problem. You know, he isn't a guy to go buy it on the secondary market. You know, but again, I know
crates of it.
That's right, gets barrels of it. You know, sometimes people want different challenges, and that's why I never say a coach is officially somebody that you should never kick the tires on. Right? Like, obviously, you're not going to kick the tires on Kirby Smart. You're not going to. You can try, but maybe you decide, like, we can't pay the Dan Lanning money, but you sure as shit should call Dan Lanning and say, hey, we have an opportunity. It's right. Okay to be told no. What's not okay is to assume that the answer is no.
That sounds like a sales supervisor right there, bro. I know a sales orientation when I hear one, brother.
That's some Daniel Pink and
yeah.
What's his name? Oh, who's the other guy? The chin. Tony. The
guy with a chin. You know, the motivational Tony. Speaker. What's his name? It's Tony. I'm forgetting.
Tony Robbins.
Tony Robbins.
I even said his name earlier. I was just having a brain fart here. Let's see. Looking through here. Dave, appreciate you, brother. Wait, Dave and I had a great call the other day. Not Dave Waters, the other Dave in the chat. Florida has not reached out and will not be reaching out to Kerwin Bell. I certainly wish him
hey, success. Watch out, man. Hey, y'all be playing. Y'all be playing with my logo, man. Like, chill out, Kerwin Bell.
What's a realistic time to get a coach? It's going to depend on who it is, right? James Franklin could sign. I don't think a school is going to bring on a new coach midseason regardless. So they might have a deal in writing somewhere, but for a distractionary reason, I don't see anybody announcing until after, you know, Thanksgiving, anybody hired a new coach. Could have happened, but James Franklin can come in, kind of set the groundwork, but he's not going to start coaching the guys.
Oh, no, right? None of that. It's going to be straight to like figuring out staff and maybe getting on the recruiting and calling certain players. But I think you get straight to like player retention. If you hire Franklin right now, that would be the move for him, is, you know, trying to secure your quarterback, et cetera, just in a recruiting standpoint. But other than that, he can't go to the locker room and say, hey, bro, let's, you know, throw this playbook out. Let's try this.
This is a comment. Franklin's going to go to LSU. If James Franklin goes to LSU, then everybody that said that Florida should not hire a fired coach immediately becomes moot, right? If we're going to say that LSU might be a better job than Florida, at par of Florida, I think nationally people would probably say LSU. They've had a little bit more success recently. If they're not below hiring James Franklin, then we should have never been below hiring James Franklin. And is he the sexiest? No, probably not. But does he have the best resume? He absolutely does. Absolutely does. So if that happens, we're coming back to this.
Somebody, James Franklin's about to get a big job, brother. Like Penn State, you know, LSU, Florida, like one of these programs are going to hire James Franklin. All that, hiring a firing coach, it's just not like people just say these things that aren't in real life 2025 things, bro. Like, it's a whole new regime of coaches. It's only a couple coaches that has won it all. You know, all these guys got incredible, you know, marks. You know, everybody got flaws that you can go point at. It's trying to traject where these coaches are going to be, and also what do they bring in from a foundation standpoint. Like, how much of a gamble is James Franklin versus, you know, a Brent Key? Like, one's a sizable gamble. You're going to be betting on Brent Key, you know, projections on what he can be. But right now, there's nothing that says that he's a better coach or you have an idea what you're going to get in year 6, 7, 8, or 9 out of Brent Key.
Yeah.
He's fairly new and young in this whole process.
Yeah. You don't know with anybody.
Right.
You really don't. You know, when Dan Lanning's had a lot of success at Oregon, you didn't really know then, right? I mean, he was the defensive coordinator at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the assumption is it's Kirby Smart's, right? And so, you know, that brings Glenn Schumann as a name. You know, he's got a great spot there. He makes a ton of money at Georgia. You know, does a school go to try to pull what Dan Lanning did and get a Glenn Schumann? You know, I could see that happening somewhere. I don't necessarily think that Florida's going to do that. You know, but then you start to look at the coordinator level, or you might have to start getting comfortable at what some of these G5 coaches are doing. And I'm not saying that that's what Florida is going to do, but I think in any coaching search with the sheer number of coaching jobs that are going to be open, you're going to have to start evaluating some other people that are out there. Because there's going to be a lot of competition, especially if Sark goes to Texas.
Or he leaves Texas, yeah.
Or at least Texas goes to the NFL, yeah.
Yeah, it gets real weird if Texas is – there's their big dog wants to enter the market.
Yeah.
Just keep it a bean. Texas is a big dog. They may go, like, big game hunting to the NFL and try to poach something. Who knows? Like, or they'll take your coach. Like, Texas is a different ordeal. But, yeah, I think are we going to wait for Lane? I think somebody asked about the playoff picture and Lane Kiffin in the comments. It sounds like Florida is down to wait that process out. You know, you have to be very confident to pass on a very shallow pool and not get, you know, because do coaches wait for Florida? You know, like, are, if Florida's one of the programs that's talking to you and possibly, you know, they're vetting you out, do you take the secure job at maybe Arkansas or somewhere else, you know, because you're down the list at Florida and you have an Arkansas or who knows, man, Carolina may come open too. But there's going to be some smaller programs like a Virginia Tech, you know, that going to be offering schools. Will the coach wait for Florida to kind of decide on Lane Kiffin, or do some of the candidates start to make decisions?
Yeah, and I think that there's going to be a lot happening. You know, Jimmy Sexton's unlimited minutes on Verizon are probably going to be hitting new records this season.
He don't strike me a guy that's taking all them phone calls. He's probably at the buffet for sure.
How many phones do you think Jimmy Sexton?
He's at the.
I almost let that one slip on by. Oh man, Jimmy Sexton, what, a 3-phone guy, 4-phone guy.
Yeah. He
definitely strikes you as a 3 or 4 phone guy.
Each AirPods for a different phone.
Yeah, that's right.
That type of guy.
All right. Your top 3 most likely for UF to hire. I mean, without knowing everything about what's going to look like in 6 weeks, because I can assure you that there's not.
Things are going to change.
Yeah, there's going to be no announcements in the next 5 or 6 weeks. But yeah. Who are the 3 most likely?
I would say Kiffin, Franklin, Brent Key.
I'll say Kiffin, Drinkwitz, Brent Key. I don't necessarily love that order, but I think that that's probably my order. Where are the updated odds online? Trey, it's a good question. They don't keep them up for a long time. What they want to do is they want to tease them for about a week, and then as information starts pouring in, you know, those lines may get reposted again. But Vegas does a really good job of not putting themselves out there too much. So if all of a sudden there's a bunch of smoke, you know, that Lane Kiffin is interviewing or taking phone calls, they don't want to pay out those bets. So a lot of times they'll just do these, you know, 1 or 2 week things. And that's what happened with Billy Napier, was posted for a couple of days with Dan Mullen a few years before that. I think it was posted for a week because I was trying to do some research. Somebody asked me what, you know, Dan Mullen and Billy Napier's odds were for getting the job. And I remember saying, hey, I'm just going to update this every week until Florida has one. And it was only for that week. So at the buffet. I mean, that's what we got to call the show.
At the buffet.
At the buffet.
That boy live at the buffet. The buffet hate to see him coming. He's probably wanted at like most wanted at buffets.
Let me pause at this, right? Like if Florida goes and gets James Franklin, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's been concerns about offense. Do you then play into my scenario that I called you about a week and a half ago that said mm-hmm. this might be an avenue that Florida goes down and says, hey, and somebody brought it up. That's why I wanted to bring this point up. Texas State has a really good head coach. He's got a ceiling there. I mean, and he could certainly be, you know, a candidate for a job this season as well.
Mm-hmm.
Do you then go and try to get a G5 head coach that's maybe an offensive guy to say, hey, you've got the offense. Franklin, you're going to be the CEO. You can bring in some of your guys, but we're also going to do this with a little bit more dissension in the room, you know, and try to attack it that way. Because maybe you don't have to pay James Franklin the same amount that you have to pay Lane Kiffin. Maybe you get him at 10 or 11.
Yeah, I think James is a guy that's about that life. I mean, he's went out and made aggressive hires at both of the coordinator spots. Like, I think he's down to delegate. But when you bring a coordinator in, like you're up to the to their success, right? I love the coordinator he brought in from Kansas, yeah, to Penn State. I was a big fan of that guy. But
Kolonecki or whatever.
Yeah. I think he calls a sexy offense, you know, when he was at Kansas, but it's not looking the same at Penn State. Sometimes when you bring a coordinator in and you bring it in their offense, it could be a bad, you know, match, you know, and I don't think, you know, it matched well when he brought that guy in from Kansas. But he's shown that when it's time to go hire top-notch coordinators, he's very aggressive. He's going to go try to go get big names. The quarterback development is still something that's on my mind with Penn State. Uh-huh. It would just have to be the right coordinator if it's him. You know, he's an offensive-minded coach, so he is on that side of the ball. But his defenses have been better than his offense, per se. He hires – I think he would be bringing in Trotwin with him. You would have to think that he feels a guy that you possibly bring into that regime. I think he would – I think Sider would leave Notre Dame to come to Florida. If Franklin was here, he didn't go to Notre Dame just, you know, for that relationship. He wanted a different scenery, but I know for sure that Sider wants to be closer to his family. You know, his parents are getting older. Yeah. So I think certain relationships could work out. Like, I think Franklin could put together a very good staff. Mm-hmm. And what we've been missing more than anything is great offensive line recruiting and coaching. And you can get that with Phil. So there's a lot to be desired with a guy like Franklin. You know, it's just going to come down to going to hire, in my opinion, like you said, making that type of hire, like a big boy hire, as all to just CEO this thing and give it to somebody else, that offense to somebody else.
There's a couple comments here. Can UF get part of that $50 million PSU buyout due to an offset clause and put it into coordinators and players? No. The offset language is to make James Franklin whole up to that amount that he would have made during that time. So it's not that Penn State would then give the money. It's just whatever the difference is what they would have to pay. So Brent Key would be a disaster hire. Please stop talking about Brent Key.
Guys, yo, we don't make the list, man. We just talk about the list. I'm not
just saying Brent Key's name to piss you guys off.
Hey, yo, we don't want Brent Key name on the list either.
Cade Bell for OC if James Franklin is head coach, maybe.
I like Cade Bell. I thought Cade Bell was somebody that Billy Napier should have been aggressive with trying to go
get. We talked about him a couple times. I like Cade Bell a lot. And Cade Bell would be a great fit, and that would appease a lot of people too, right? He's a big passing guy, up and comer in the industry, you know, has done very successfully at Pitt. And I think that's a great name. Yeah, it's a great name. Why didn't James Franklin win championships at Penn State?
Because they haven't won one since 86, man. They're not the big dogs of that conference. They've only won the Big Ten four times, one time outright, and that was with Franklin. It's just not a traditionally winning program out there. Like, there's this mystique about them. Like, they've just been great, but, like, just go check the facts. Joe Pa wasn't – he wasn't that great there, man. You know, they got some great tradition, and they've been solid in football, but they're more Iowa than they are Bama.
Yeah.
I thought he overachieved out there, you know, considering what Penn State is. Ohio State and Michigan are the big dogs. They're more on line with Michigan State, Wisconsin, Nebraska. They're in that second tier. The two top dogs of the Big Ten is Michigan in Ohio State, and he was facing John Harbaugh and Urban Meyer. Like, he ain't facing no chumps.
Jim Harbaugh,
you know. Yeah, I got you. But he wasn't facing no chumps. Like, he was running to real deal legends and catching hands. But and then also, like, I thought he delivered the results of what a Penn State program is. You know, like
he was also one play away from the national championship last year.
And I've never seen Penn State play in a national championship. Have you ever seen him?
No, okay. I wasn't born. I was 2 years my junior.
There we go.
Yeah. But that's where you go back. I mean, how many – here's a good question. How many conference titles does Lane Kiffin have?
like James Franklin won back-to-back like 9 or 10 games at Vanderbilt when Vanderbilt stunk. Like they've had some success since him. He breathed life into the Vandy program. Yeah, like he's been successful and he's risen the level of football everywhere he's been at. That's James Franklin's resume. Could you be somewhere too long and just need a fresh, you know, fit somewhere else? Yeah, I think like I'm not mad at Penn State fired him, but I don't think it's because he's unfair, and I don't know who Penn State's gonna go hire in this market to make an upgrade. They won't make an upgrade. They're gonna be gambling here a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Solo screen. Dan's out of here. It's my show now. I got the keys. What's up with it? How y'all doing?
I left you. Sorry. 6,000 people strong. My apologies.
We hanging out.
See. Yeah, I know. There is a couple of comments here. People need to realize where there's a point where you're overpaying for Lane Kiffin. That's part of the conversation that's not been talked about. We did talk about it a little bit last week, but it's a good point, right? $13.5 million is the number that was floated around. We'll just go with that, right?
Shout out to Buddy.
Shout out to Buddy and Frost.
Big Buddy. Big Buddy to UPRs, man.
At what point does it become too much, right? Is it at 14 million? Is it at 15 million, 17 million, 18 million? And I know Florida Gator fans will be like, just whatever.
Ain't my money. I'm going to be real with you. It's not my money. Not my bread, bro.
You're talking about a 7 or 8 year deal. Now you're talking in 110, 120 guaranteed for the head coach. It's a lot.
It's a lot of bread.
You're going to bring over a couple million dollars worth of coordinators on each side. You bring on millions of dollars in support staff and everything else. Like, that's a massive investment. So, yeah, there you go, Fishers. It's not our money. We don't care.
Yeah,
good point. I'm hearing 15 million. Everybody's hearing different numbers. Just, you know, hopefully somebody says they're hearing 16, 17. And, you know, there is a ceiling. Lane Kiffin is a sexy hire because he wears the visor, talks like Spurrier, is having some success at Ole Miss. And it's kind of funny to think about, like, 5 years ago, you would have never brought up Lane Kiffin's name in this conversation. So it is cool to watch his, you know, kind of his ascension again. But there's still a lot of flaws there in his game, in his coaching.
Yeah.
Not perfect.
I mean, he lost to William Bartholomew Napier last year. So,
yeah. With a very talented roster.
He could have put us out of our misery last year if we keep him to the bean, Dan.
Yeah. So I should not want him.
No, I definitely want him. But I'm also mad that he didn't put us out of our – put that situation out of our misery, and we had to watch Uma Kneeling run through the carousel, you know? Yeah.
I got confused because I was watching the game yesterday and I forgot his brother plays for them now too.
He balling.
I thought he was on the Panthers. No chance of Urban. No, there's no chance of Urban Meyer. Talk about every show. I know somebody's going to bring it up. Urban Meyer is not coming back to college football. Would Tulane coach be all that bad? I like John Summerall a lot. I'll be honest with you. I like him a ton. Somebody said LSU is going to hire. LSU's not going to hire Tulane's coach. Remember the whole kit and caboodle that they did about hire from the directional schools, and that's why they didn't look at Billy Napier. Yeah. I like John Summerall a lot. I think that you're going to have a very difficult sell to UF. Also lost to William Bartholomew Napier.
Yeah. What if Billy G beat Lane? Do you still want him if Billy Gonzalez put hands and feet on him? Because that's in the cards. I don't think that's off the table.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you've seen out of Lane Kiffin, you know, you have to take your swing, right? Like, what are your other options, man? Like, everybody's flawed.
Mm.
You know,
it's nasty work. If he loses to Billy G, it looks nasty though.
Well, hopefully it keeps him out of the playoff and he can come pack his bag to Gainesville. Get better Greek moving out there.
Yeah.
Or whoever the sponsor is for the Florida Gators.
They're going to have a meltdown not to make the playoffs. They're like top five now, right?
Yeah. Yeah. LSU's top target, Lane, if so, Franklin's best. I mean, I would presume that their top target would be Lane Kiffin, but I don't know. I presume everybody's top target is Lane Kiffin.
Everybody calling Lane. Even some NFL teams going to call Lane. I can promise you that.
You know,
Dolphins might hit Lane up and be like, hey, bro, LSU, what's up?
LSU has a lot of money. Do they go and try to buy out, you know, a big name coach? They could. They might do things a little bit differently than Florida.
Who is there to go buy out?
I don't know. There's not a lot of sure-fire coaches there. Right? You know, like a few years ago, you would have said Dabo Sweeney, right? Like that's a great hire. Now, I'm not even bringing up his name, who is obviously very frustrated at Clemson right now and would not be surprised to see Dabo Sweeney leave, but I can't bring his name up because the chat would go crazy.
He need to go find a bingo hall or some cricket to play or some shuffle, some shuffle ball.
Is there any chance Penn State and LSU flip coaches? Yeah. Do not want Dabo. See? You know, that's why I didn't bring his name up because I knew it would be over quickly. LSU is going to try and buy out Ryan Day. I think Ryan Day wants to go to the NFL, to be honest with you. LSU might try to buy out Dan Lanning. I mean, maybe. It's a ton of money. You know, Dan Lanning turned down Alabama, which I think is a better job than LSU. Does Beamer go to Virginia Tech? I don't know enough about the program. I mean, makes sense to me. Is Clemson going to open up too? I don't know, right? It just based on kind of how things have been going the last few weeks and few months. Hear me out. What if Billy G goes crazy down the stretch and wins out? I mean, I'd love it, you know, and hopefully the next coach can keep him on staff as a wide receivers coach.
Yeah, that's about it. Like, he's auditioning for his same job. Yeah, I don't care if he'd be there by 40 on the way down. Like, we appreciate you, Billy G, you know?
Yeah. Yep.
You got to be Make-A-Wish coach for a few weeks. That's the best we could do for you, my boy.
Let's see.
We spoke about, I see the chat still asking about, if you showed up late, we talked about Lincoln Riley early. We don't know if they're going to reach out to him, but I mean, I think everybody's going to be vetting a lot of these guys because the coaching pool is just poor. There's not a lot of great talent out there, a lot of proven talent, I would say.
Yeah.
It's very funky this year.
What do you think about game day on Saturday, putting John Gruden in top three choices? I thought it was a very lazy answer, right? I think that they had Lane Kiffin, Eli Drinkwitz, and then they're like, oh, John Gruden. I'm going to look this up.
They were just trying to trend. John Gruden's a good name to get trending.
Lives in Tampa. John Gruden has not coached in college football since 1989, where he was the tight ends coach at Pacific University. What are we doing here?
Sounds unserious, man. We can't even be bringing Gruden in. And Florida would never call Gruden, by the way.
Yeah.
He just got some. I'm not saying I agree with, you know, the shenanigans, you know, how people framed it, but it's just not something Florida's going to deal with.
No, there's some HR issues with John Gruden.
100%.
Didn't Lincoln try to get the job in 22? Yeah, I mean, they let Florida know that he would be on the market. It wasn't anything really more than that. They had a one-name list at the time, and that was William Hall Napier. Brian Kelly reached out.
Bartholomew, bro. He looks like a Bartholomew.
He does. Gruden to Arkansas seems realistic. Perfect. It seems like a great spot for him. Lincoln Riley to Florida, stamp it. Okay. All right. We've kind of reached the end here. We're not that comment was the end, but we're getting back to kind of the same old stuff.
So, I'd say Lincoln Riley over Brent Key, man. I'll say it.
Yeah. No, I think Riley would be a lot more successful in Florida and would enjoy Florida. a lot more than the West Coast. I just don't know. What does Texas do if that job opens up, dude?
I don't know, bro.
Like, I mean, think of the coaches, right? Marcus Freeman.
Like, how secure is Kalen DeBoer at Bama?
I mean, they've won all of their games. I mean, they almost lost. I mean, they had an epic comeback. Hit them on a 16 parlay yesterday. They were my last win. They kept me sweating. I didn't win a ton of money. It's $20 to win. I don't know, $100. But I picked some heavy favorites. But anyway, I'm a coward. I get it. They almost lost to South Carolina yesterday, right? But their only loss was to Florida State, which, yes, in hindsight, it's a bad loss, but it was also the first loss of the year. They've got LSU coming up. They've got Auburn still. Auburn's a terrible football program right now. I don't know what the rest of the schedule looks like, but, you know.
Mm. All right, let's get out of here. I got some snapper and some veggie fried rice to eat.
Yeah. I'm just looking to see here if anything else came.
If Auburn becomes open and Texas becomes open, like, I can't follow the day-to-day all the way up until they figure out this coach thing. I'm going to just, you know, go touch some grass and just watch.
Yeah, we're going to touch grass. We'll talk about this. I mean, we've done this the last couple Sundays in a row. Might do it again next Sunday. Might wait a couple weeks because it's the same. And nothing's going to happen. I want to tell you guys, nothing's going to happen between now and Thanksgiving.
I need Buddy to up the number a little bit. Like, Buddy need to come back. Oh, it's a new offer on the table, $20 million. just keep raising it.
The internet would just go bonkers.
Yeah.
But if Lane Kiffin does come to Florida, that might be one of the – I might take a day off of work.
I would.
That would be – I'm not
doing anything that day.
That is going to be a top two. Maybe it won't ever beat the clutch like MJ.
On the my trolling would be crazy on that day. What the lies?
Gator bags. I plan on one next Sunday. Gator bags. I want you to reach out. We seem to know, but whatever. We'll figure it out. All right, guys, we'll get out of here. Hey, 6,387 people. Appreciate you guys all for watching, hanging out, comments. Everybody, hit the like button. You're new to this show, we record every Monday night. That's our big show. We have Nick Della Torre with Florida Victorious and Jordan Scarlett, former Florida Gator running back and NFL running back. And we're going to chop it up about the Gators. Big game, right, against Georgia this weekend. You going up to Jacksonville?
I'm contemplating to go see my aunt, man. So I think I'm going to pull up. You know,
I got invited to a tailgate that he invited all of us to. So if you're going to go up there, I can put you in touch with him. So everybody that's going to that game, have a blast. Join the channel. Come hang out with us tomorrow night. We have a great time, 8 p.m. On Monday night Eastern time. Appreciate everybody for watching. Hit the like button, share it, whatever you have to do, and we will see you guys next time. Peace.